This is the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. Acta non verba.
All right, we'll see if we glitch out now or not.
I was wondering. You said you're gonna start it, and then
I know I had to find the button. It's like it updated.
They keep moving it on you.
Yeah, and they moved the buttons. Not really.
Button. He's got the button.
I'm going blind. That's what it is. I have to take my glasses off to read now. So, yeah, I'm nearsighted, so I have to wear glasses so I can drive. But I'm to the point now that I have to take my glasses off to read things. Yeah, and I'm not doing the bifocal thing. Nope. I'm going to wait till I'm at least 60-something plus.
I
will
those.
Take my glasses off. No, no. Oh, you have readers. I don't need readers. I just have to take my glasses off so I can see. There's a difference. I tell people that, and they're like, yeah, I have readers too. I'm like, no, I don't need readers. I can read just fine with my glasses off. But it's
wait until your arms start getting longer.
Oh, they are. Somebody will text me or something. And of course, not that I would ever look at a text driving down the road. I, of course, pull off safely with my flashers on. And I take my glasses off so I can read what people send me.
Yes, I can confirm that.
I signed a paper for Alex the other day, and I had to take my glasses off just to see which, like the print's too small. It's like, you're right. I need to hold it out here, and I can't write that far away, so the glasses, it's like, it's the reverse problem. Yeah. Well, as we were talking in the green room, it's not been a couple bad weeks, CJ. It was a bad month at the end of the last year. And then I skipped a month, kind of doing okay. And then this month, my kid tried to kill me. That's my story. Because he got the stomach flu first, and he only had it for a day and a half-ish or so. And I got it Sunday night and then had it through to about Friday. The worst was Sunday night. It's nothing like waking up in the middle of the night going, oh, I'm sick. And I can't even remember the last time I was sick. It's been so long since I've been sick with anything. But yeah,
last week. And the stomach flu is terrible.
It's like, how do you recover so fast? He only ended up puking too. It didn't pass all the way through. He puked it all up and he was done.
Oh, yeah. He's so lucky.
He is. That's what I'm saying. He lucked out.
But to be so young.
I was trying to figure out. It's like, okay, this can't be an airborne disease thing, virus, whatever. Because it was like he had a Friday and I didn't get it till Sunday. What happened in between those two points? The only thing that I got it down to that we both ate and shared was he picked up damn Casey's donuts. And he ate a couple, one or two of them Friday, and they were sitting there. And they looked good. And I remember eating one of those Sunday morning, even though they were a couple day old. So I'm saying it was the Casey's donuts that got us. So you shouldn't eat fat pills. It's like, you know, reverse karma. Man, that donut looked really good and it tasted pretty good. But at the end of the day, that's what got me. But you got to think whoever made those donuts, because they make them fairly fresh.
Sick.
Yeah. They spread it all over the place. I bet if I made some phone calls, I'd have found out one of the small towns that everybody had the stomach flu. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, half of your town was taken out by Casey's donuts.
Yep.
The donut apocalypse.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, somebody, what is it? Somebody was doing a gain of function on donuts gain of function research on donuts like they did COVID or whatever.
Something.
Man. There's a lap leak. Is there a stomach flu virology lab near where you live?
Actually, there is a lab that does testing on diseases just down the road from me.
So there you go.
So it's a possibility.
The truth is out there.
Yeah. But then a follow up on the tooth stuff, it like stopped hurting and everything. But there's been a couple of times I thought I bit my tongue on that side. Come to find out, no, it's little bone shavings still working their way up through my gum. Oh. Yeah. And it was like,
I got some needle nose pliers. We can just.
I would let you. But what was funny was it kept cutting the side of my tongue, and I thought I had bit it or something in my sleep. Yeah. But no, I'm driving down the road. I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you know, just kind of, what's that? Pull out this, like, it looked like you cut your thumbnail, fingernail. Mm. Like you snipped
just it. Just a little sliver, yeah.
Yeah, it looked like a half.
Not a little thumbnail. Sliver, but yeah.
It was a big piece. I'm like, oh. And then I'm like feeling around, and I'm like, oh, my gum's not sharp anymore. My tongue doesn't feel cut.
So you're good.
And then that's, you would think so, but yesterday.
And it continues.
Yesterday, I'm like, hey, I had nothing. Everything's good. It's like early in the morning. And I'm like, man, something feels weird back here. I reach back, pull out, it looked like a fingernail clipping. But it was another little piece of bone or something that came out. So it's still floating. It's like, how much damage did they do? And the reason I'm talking about this, people, is just to see the expressions on CJ's face.
No, thank you.
That's the only reason why I'm talking about this now. Not that it pertains or helps anyone out, but yeah, I'm on like the, I don't know. They said up to 6 months. I keep pulling up, like reading about it, and they're like, yeah, that's a lot of damage back there.
Yeah. Wow. That sucks. The stomach flu is not. I remember almost
10 pounds.
Yeah.
I was just dehydrated.
Well, I know, isn't there something that's like a winter stomach thing? Like, it's not stomach flu, but it's something else. Norovirus, I think it is, or something like that, where you get either throwing up or diarrhea or both, but you don't, it's like not necessarily any fever or anything like that.
Wait, what's the difference then? Was it just the fever?
I think so, because with an achy, feeling achy, and
I mean, if you're shitting all and puking all the time, you're kind of achy.
Yeah, but I've had the flu where I'm puking and it's coming out of both ends, but there's still that achy, like all my joints ache.
See, I was feverish and fighting it Sunday night into like Monday and just couldn't.
And then you were fine?
Well, besides lack of sleep. And then the rest of the time it was just I had diarrhea for a week. So
maybe they're the same.
But I think that's what you're talking about with like the actual flu symptoms. You have a fever going the whole time. Mm. Instead of like this is almost like a bug or a virus passing through your gut and it just got to flush it out. That's basically what.
Were you not able to keep any food down?
Oh, no. After the come Tuesday, I could keep food in. It's really? Just. It would pass right through me basically and come out water.
When I had it, like the first few days, it was coming out of both ends and I couldn't keep anything down. It took me so many days to be able to actually eat anything.
Dang. Yeah. Well, I was eating light stuff too. You know, I was eating like toast and nothing substantial there. That's the word I'm looking for.
Nothing with any calories.
Yeah, no, just something enough to like take the, like, cause I'm hungry, you know, it's like, I got to eat something.
But I just remember like trying to take sips of Gatorade and throwing it up instantly.
Yep. That was the worst.
Yeah, it was like, what the fuck am I supposed to do?
As soon as it hits, yep. As soon as it hits, right back at it.
But yeah, he puked for like 2 or 3 hours straight. And then he was like, besides sleeping it off, he was done. I puked like once or twice. And I think it was almost like my body was in convulsions type thing, more so. And then it got down into my gut. I think that's where it's like, it depends on how fast it passes through you. I wish it had passed through me quicker. Because
PTSD here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so norovirus is actually the cause of what is known as stomach flu. But its official name is, so that's the virus that causes it. Gastroenteritis is actually the official medical term for stomach flu.
Well, see, and that's why I think we got food poisoning or something or whatever, because
I've had food poisoning before, and that passes pretty quickly. It's like one night,
usually like 24 hours tops.
Yeah. See, that's what he had. That's why I was like, I still think it's Casey's donuts. I'll still eat Casey's pizza from the other place, but I'm not trusting another where he got donuts from.
Never yeah, going diarrhea. To you again. I'm going down the block.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so like revenge for the donut.
But it says usually they appear within 1 to 3 days, can range from mild to severe, usually last a day or two, but occasionally they may last up to 14 days. Fuck that.
Wow.
Could you imagine feeling like that for two fucking weeks?
See, after the first day, I didn't feel bad. I came home, got a whole bunch of sleep. It was a nice, easy Monday. Came home, slept till Tuesday. And then physically, I felt fine. So, besides being tired from shitting all day and having to make some extra stops. You know, it's like one of those things. But like Wednesday night, and why we're talking about this is we skipped a week of recordings. But it was, you know, between driving all day, all the other stupid stuff, and being sick on top of it, it was like sitting here in my chair and I'm just nodding off. I'm like, okay. I'm not going to make it through the night.
It's all good.
Sleep, work, sleep.
Yeah, that's all it was.
We need you alive. Not.
I know.
You don't. No need to kill yourself for a podcast.
Chaos.
I mean, as vast as the BR Nation is, I think everyone would understand.
Yeah. We're all allowed a little bit of time off.
Yeah.
So.
Gotta take it where we can get it. So what do we have on the docket tonight?
Besides shit stories? We haven't had shit stories this
year. Yeah, we haven't talked.
Yeah.
We haven't talked literal shit in a while, so we're due, I think. We were due, I guess.
We were due.
Apparently we were
covered.
Yes.
That one's wiped off now.
Wipe it off the list.
Try to come off with something.
Yeah, try. Now we've dropped that load.
We can move on to the next. Yeah. Oh, feel so much better. Okay, which one of these should we start with first? Since CJ threw this in here, what's a 15-minute city?
Oh, it was something I actually heard on a podcast today, actually. So what they're trying to do is like a bunch of like places, like countries, like heads of the countries or whatever. They're trying to make like little sections of cities. Like, you guys ever heard of the Hunger Games? You ever seen it?
Yep.
Yep.
Watched all.
So like
three
they have districts. So they're trying to have cities like every district you can walk the whole city in 15 minutes. So, and they'll have like hospitals, restaurants, everything within 15-minute walk.
So it's Chicagoland.
But what they're trying to do is that if you drive past that, like, what is it, like 100 times in a year, you start getting fined. They're trying to reduce, like, climate change and all of this shit by doing this.
So they don't want you driving across town to get something to eat. They want you to get something to eat in your
local area. Well, you got it in your district. So they were talking about it like as a conspiracy, and then I watched like a 20-minute video of it. So what they would try to do is take like people out of rural areas and put them into these districts in the city. So they would make everybody do it. So then eventually the only reason they would know that you left your district is they would have cameras that would, you know, pick it up. So it'd be like a police state.
I don't see that working in the U.S.
Everyone living
in
the city
in Portland
should have access to essential urban services within a 15-mile walk or bike. The 15-minute city project is designed to help access focused urban transformations be what we need them to be: ambitious, inclusive, measurable, and effectively implemented.
Now, I could see that in a city already. I mean, I'll drive through, like, when I do some of my routes and stuff through Chicagoland, I might pass through a half a dozen different cities.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see it already city, but trying to move everyone from the rural areas into an urban area, that's just not feasible. You got all the, you got your farmers, you got your factory workers, you got all that. You would have to, that's when I say it's near impossible to move the rural to there. And then if they're talking about doing it in Portland and stuff, how would you go hiking and everything in the mountains? Are they going to shut all that down? That's their main money, is all that tourism coming through. So city-wise, I can see it happening. But you're not going to be able to suck all the rural guys in there. I mean, does anyone want a heavy equipment shop sitting in the middle of a 15-minute city? No. You know, they got those workers. That's another one of those pipe dreams.
Yeah. From what but I know, they are implementing into a couple places, but it's just something that they're trying to do.
I can, well, and I could see it. I can envision it. But then, here's the other thing. All the truck drivers are going to be excluded from it because they're going to be the ones bringing all the supplies in from out of town to make it so it'll happen.
Well, that's what I said, that a lot of the places that most people will consume more than they produce. So that would be the huge downfall of it also. I mean, that and losing your freedom. It's communism, really.
Yeah, but people are willfully accepting that. That's what I'm saying. It's like I can drive one down, like down 83. Every like 10 minutes of driving, I'm in a different little, there's like Marinette Park, the Sigley Park, this park, that park. There are all these little villages that are all strung out. You can leave
freely.
What?
But you can leave freely. You won't get fined if you leave that little
spot. Well, I'm not saying they don't have the fines yet. Just give them time. But like the camera and everything else is in there already.
Well, those cameras are only supposed to be for speeding and running stop signs, which
I don't know, fucking safety.
I don't fucking agree with, but those aren't even ran by the DOT or the police. They're hired out by a private company.
Yep.
But no, I was just like, heard this today and I thought it just sounded like the fucking Hunger Games kind of shit.
I would agree.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I was reading some of the stuff. It's one of those, these should serve as guiding, the idea should serve as a North Star, guiding principles to help with, you know, redesign, you know, thinking urbanization and cities and all that sort of stuff. It's like, okay, cool. Kindly fuck off then. Like, thanks for your idealism. Reality will set in, because great, so you have more bike paths and people walk. I mean, I get that. It'd be awesome if if I just had a 5 minute,
but it's or like 15 the minute supportive side of it.
Exactly. Like you, there's you still have the infrastructure you need to support those. Like you said, you need trucks to deliver the goods and supply. They're not going to grow their own. Although they talk about, right, each 15 minute sort of zone should be diverse in terms of land use. So some of it's for housing, some of it's for housing and residential, some of it's for commercial, some of it's for agriculture. I'm assuming I didn't dive to just while you guys were talking, but whatever. That's I think, like you said, it makes sense in cities, especially deep downtown, like true urban centers. Think San Francisco, New York, even to a degree, Chicago, like downtown-ish. I mean, I know Chicago's the most, like, it's neighborhoods and that whole idea.
I only know that because I drive through it. So that's why I'm picking on Chicago. But I'm sure New York's like that.
Yeah. And, you know, that's great and all, but yeah, there's, like, I don't know.
They might as well just start putting fences up with the security guards.
Yeah.
Because people are going to wander. And doesn't Portland have, like, a higher homeless population than some areas? I know L.A. has California has everyone beat.
But these days, especially. But, yeah, Portland. I mean, but Portland's interesting, too, because they have some of – I could be – this information could be old and outdated. But at one point, Portland was really strict on – how fast the city itself could grow. Like they were putting all kinds of restraints on not just on both commercial and residential sort of expansion. Like they were purposely trying to slow the growth of Portland as a city. And, you know, but as a result, real estate, right, prices are extremely high. So, which is great if you live there, but if you're trying to move there or even trying to buy a new house, right, you're kind of fucked because you're paying higher prices than maybe you need to or you could, right? Mm-hmm. Tax base, a larger tax base spreads the burden across a greater number of people, so it lowers it across the board. But they did a lot of city planning like that where they were purposely trying to restrict expansion of the city kind of thing. So, and yet, yeah, there's places like that where you have this left-leaning thing where there's all kinds of, anybody can be here and all kinds of people who can't afford being there. But
was it Portland or Seattle that those people made their own country?
Portland.
Okay, that was Portland too.
Yeah.
Was it Chadland or whatever the fuck it's called?
Chaz.
Chaz.
Something autonomous zone.
Yeah. All right.
That had a wall around it. That's what I thought.
They had their own police force in there.
That was what I thought was so fucking hilarious. Huh. There's a border around your zone. Imagine that. And you're defending it. Huh. That's irony.
Yeah. And guys are complaining about getting robbed on their iPhones.
Yeah. Down with capitalism while I stream this through some app on my iPhone from a Starbucks. Like, oh my God. Yeah. I mean, interesting idea, right?
Okay. And hold on. But now where some of this concept probably comes from. I was talking to someone else about this is Singapore, because it's basically a city state, if I understand it correctly, and they have all that cameras and all this socialism, whatever. It's actually on my places of that I want to visit now, because it's there. Like I want to just go see how it works.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's necessarily a good concept, but at the same time, it's like, well, it's safe. Yeah. But what are you giving up for that?
But is it Singapore where they cane people?
I think that's it. Like, if you get in a lot of trouble, they got cameras everywhere. They got it. Well, that to me sounds like this 15-minute city. It's like they're trying to make their own little city state. So if Portland wanted to make their own little city state, and then the rest of the Oregon gets to work normally. But the biggest thing about Singapore is they don't produce anything food-wise, agriculture-wise, you know, building-wise. Yeah. They have to ship everything basically in.
Yeah, isn't...
I'm sure they still have some gardens and some stuff and that, but not to support the thousands, millions, whatever lives there.
You know, one thing too, though, is it potentially a way, though, to, it's couched in a wonderful idea. Like, I can understand it. Sure, who wouldn't want to be 15 minutes away from anything, have everything that you need in that radius, like, and even extend it out, maybe say it's not 15, it's 20, like maybe you do need some transportation built in there, not just walking or bikes or whatever. So extend it out a little bit further, whatever the number is, I don't know. And you have a hospital in each of those locations. There's hospital, fire, police, et cetera, everything that you need, stores, you could do it all. But isn't that then, though, a way of control, right?
Well, yeah, they're
now I'm locked into this. This 15, not just the, but I'm geofenced in this boundary, like, and more often, and then, so if the next thing happens, whatever it is, shit, it could actually be a legit invasion by somebody, although we know the odds of that happening are slim or none, but something goes awry, and then just stay at home, stay in your bubble. How many people would just be willing to, I'm going to stay in my bubble, and then you never leave that bubble? And shit, the outside of that 15-minute radius, the world could be on fire. But you're kind of there, and they keep feeding you whatever.
You could be in your 15-minute bubble, and your home is on fire, but because you've never left that bubble, you don't know where to go. So there's nowhere to go. Yeah, you don't have a car to escape. You start walking out on foot. You don't really have the supplies. It's like, you know, do you get a pass to go hike in the mountains? Oh, you're basically a cattle person sitting in a tech-savvy world, which I think is Singapore having a lot of techie-type people. And you take away the internet, they're now nothing. The same with these 15-minute cities. If you don't take all the producers, growers, and suppliers, because they can't all fit in those little sections, it's not going to – you still have – even Hunger Games. You know, they had the industrial section, they had the farming section, and they all supplied the capital. You know, those sections suffered because they all supplied the capital that had the best of everything. But
there would be,
you know, that's like,
how much of a greater chance would there be, like, a capital city that gets the majority of resources to the diminishment of all these other areas? Yeah.
That I could see happening, like even Portland. Okay. The rest of Oregon Gun is going to support this area of elites. But then there comes your scenario. What happens then? Well, all the other guys are going to survive, and your city's going to burn to the ground at some point.
And I get Portland that it
hasn't burned to the ground yet.
Yeah, it is surprising.
But even if it did, like, would I really care? No.
No, we'd all be happy if that most of California just went away.
Yeah,
you know,
just break off and be your own country.
That's when
leave Washington. They're okay.
When I found out the San Andreas Fault, even if it does crack open, won't allow California to drop off into the ocean.
You're that depressed. Was like you poured one out.
Basically. For like 20 some odd years, I always thought that was the answer.
Yeah,
was told it's not physically possible for that to happen. So you the next crushed. Best thing is like, a Tusami to come in. Like, what is that? Like a 400-foot wave just come in.
Just wash him.
Oh, clean. Hit the mountains. I want it to be so big it goes all the way up and over, hits the mountains, and then washes it all clear.
It makes it to the eastern border of California and gone.
Yeah. Whatever that mountain peak is, I want everything west of the mountains just obliterated.
Is that Tahoe?
So expensive. I want it so expensive that you can't even begin to start to rebuild. They'll just make it a preserve.
Wait, what was it called again?
What, a Tusami?
A tsunami.
Tsunami? Tusami? Tsunami? Don't make fun of my English.
I knew it.
Doesn't it have a T in there?
It starts silent, ain't it?
Yes.
I'm going to start writing these nativisms down.
You should. Then you'd actually understand what I'm saying. You can do a little.
You'd have the translator.
I understand.
CJ, how long have we known each other now? 4 years?
Yeah, you should have it down by now.
Is it been 4 years? Are we going on 5?
I just like let him go. And then when he's done talking, I'm like, wait, how do you say this one thing?
What?
I don't know. I don't know. I think we're going on 4 or 5 years of knowing each other. I have lost the count of texts of, what are you talking about?
Talking, I can. Yeah, we're good. The text, we're fucking out there, man.
I know.
Like, I don't even know what we're talking about.
It's sometimes when you're using
text, says weird things. Yeah.
I'm going to have to ask you 2 to 3 more times.
No. But yeah, that's so where'd you come across that, CJ? Like, I forget. If you said it.
I was listening to the Fuad's podcast, and they were talking about conspiracies that they believe in. And Fuad had brought that up. I'm like, I had never heard about this. Mm-hmm. And I guess this became like a little bit of a bigger thing while COVID was going on, because the guy that brought this up, he teaches at Oxford, I believe, and he has been talking about it for years, but like it actually came to light 2 months before COVID happened. So the guy that was doing the video on it that I watched after I got done with the podcast, he said that he actually brought it up to people like 2 months before COVID. So the way that he's thinking is that it was like a trial run-ish. Because people would be locked in their house and not be able to go really anywhere. So it's kind of like a test run. Like, are they okay with this? All right, let's do it a little bit more, kind of.
Now I can see the Canadians get behind that.
Yeah. They're actually they know that there is a town in Canada that is trying it, I believe.
Then we got Portland here. That's trying it. It's one of those trial cities of, I could see them doing that.
Yeah, there's actually
even San Francisco. Yeah.
By 2030, Portland should implement it. That's what they're saying.
And with the COVID thing, like, excuse me, not to date this or to talk about, but just the idea of staying at home. Like, there's, I get it, right? There's more and more people that are. They don't want to work. They don't want to whatever. But I think there's something in us, just people generally, like, A, we need to get out and socialize. But then there is this sort of, call it freedom, sense of freedom, want of freedom to just kind of go out. Like, and maybe some of this too is the way I grew up. And I don't, maybe Nate, you're somewhat similar. I'm not sure about you, CJ, but growing up is when I was a kid, we'd go on trips, but we wouldn't. The only time we really flew was to California to visit my uncle and his family, or I think to New York, although we've driven out to both of those places when I was super, super young. I don't remember it. Or the Philippines, because you can't drive a car to the Philippines. But lots of times we would take trips as a family all over the United States, but we would drive and make a trip out of it. You stay, check this place out, stop here, go here, see this stuff on the way, and then you're in Washington, D.C. for a week, and then you drive back and check out this, stuff like that.
Well, flights, one, were too expensive for the entire family, so we drove everywhere. It's one of those. The only time I really, I think I flew once as a kid to my grandmother's, and it was more of a, he gets to fly on a plane.
Yeah.
Than anything else. It was like, get the experience of going on a flight more so than, hey. And then the few trips I remember my dad doing for flight was actually like funerals. Like he had to make a family.
Had to get there. Yeah.
He had to get there on a timetable. If the whole family went, everybody was driving.
But there's something about seeing the country and being able to just hop in your car and go.
Yeah. The other problem nowadays, though, is even when you take your kids someplace, and I'm thinking that, where, what are they doing? They're not looking out the window or playing games. They're on their phone.
Playing games.
Yeah. And we support it because we got them the phone in the first place.
Yeah.
But we've lost that little bit of, in like all the little car travel bingo stops. With the big expressways, you really don't have all those little pull off the road quickies, pulling off to the convenience store, the truck stop, unless it's like the I-80 big truck stop. You know,
yeah, there's that place. I remember stopping at what was the place called? Like Stuckey's?
Oh, yeah.
And it was a gas station / convenient, but they had shit from whatever state. Is like travel trinkets that you could buy, from t-shirts to shot glasses to whatever. I mean, just stupid shit. But then they had their own brand of, was it like pecan rolls or, I mean, there was something that my mom loved and would always, any road trip we'd have to go. Anyway, point is there were like to your point, Nate, there were like, when you stopped off to get gas, it was a different thing than just stopping at a gas station, as dumb as that sounds. It was more like a big travel center where you're, I mean, not really.
Nowadays, we got a couple of those Wally's around here now, and they're trying to do that old thing. But you walk in there, and it's like, this is
not the same. Yeah,
it's too
manufactured.
Yeah. It's like a manufactured store in. But
anyway,
it's like those little hometown places you would pull off, and yeah, they would sell everything.
Yeah,
you're like, how can they fit all this in there?
But you know, there's something about going on the road and that freedom that comes with that. And you know, that was one of the things. I mean, you know, sure, some of that was marketing by all the car manufacturers back in the day, right?
Right.
See the USA in a Chevrolet kind of thing. But at the same time, there was something to that where you get like a car is freedom. We even talked to is when you're kids, a bike is freedom. Like you could go, sure, you could walk to your friend's house or hell across town, across, you know, for an hour or whatever. But if you had a bike, it's like, oh my God, it might as well have been a rocket ship in so many ways.
Well, and you could do that, and you had friends across town that you could ride your bike over to.
Now, around town.
There's places you don't want to even ride a bicycle, walk, or anything.
Shit, you don't even want to drive through.
Exactly. Roll the windows up and lock them.
Yeah. Oh, can we just go around?
Yeah.
St. Louis, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, you St. Louis.
Well, but they do. I mean, look at a lot of the expressways and all the, you know, out and around. You don't drive through towns. I mean, used to be you would drive along and you would pass, go through 50 freaking towns. Now it's like, even me, I'll hop on the, I want to get on the expressway because I want to go, you know, I've got places to go. But when I'm traveling, it's like, used to be you take like, Route 66. Route 50. I know every 20 minutes you're passing through a town. Stop mm-hmm. off, see the little knickknacks. You would pass through, you might, you know, mom wanted a coffee, or you'd hit the donut shop, or you hit the little five a dime store or whatever, and you.
Or if you're driving through Wisconsin, there's all those cheese shops.
Yep, and all the cheese shops.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know exactly
what I'm talking cheese about. Castle.
Yes. Michigan, a bunch of places have chocolate.
And fudge, yeah. It's like,
fuck that.
I'll take cheese. I even stopped fudge off. Every day. What's that?
I'll take cheese over fudge every day.
That's fair. I will now. But when you're a kid.
When you're a kid.
And you only get like fudge occasionally.
Really?
What? Yeah.
I was not a chocolate kid. I didn't like it.
Oh, yeah, but what about all the other different kinds of fudge besides chocolate?
I would have took sour candy over anything.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay, that makes sense.
I remember stopping off with my grandparents on a trip once, and they had one of those fishing pools for rainbow trout, where all you did was put a little corner. It was like a 6-foot pole with a string on it. You'd put a corner on the thing, and there's so many fish in there, you can't help but catch one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you'd pull it out, and that's what dinner or lunch or whatever would be. You'd pull one out, you know, you pay your money. Just this, you know, a roadside thing. You'd go over there, have fresh rainbow trout. It's, you don't see that stuff anymore unless you really get, it's like you got a, they don't have an internet page. You wouldn't even realize they were there because you're not looking for it anymore.
Yeah. Well, and how many of those places, like even the like cheese shops in Wisconsin, or they're pick your thing in anywhere part of the country, right? There's, you know, I know when we were, you know, there's a time where White Castle was a thing, like, you know, driving on the road, like just to go stop at a White Castle. I know today, like maybe even back then too, back in its heyday, but you know,
it was always a bad idea, but you still went.
Yeah. There's,
I was forced to.
But and I'm just, you know, the place that I was talking about, Stuckey's or whatever it was called, like those gas stations or whatever they were called at the time, you wouldn't have come across any of this shit if you didn't, well, flying over it, you're not going to see any of this. It's right. By driving on some of these two-lane highways, or even, you know, maybe the interstate, but certainly these two-lane highways, these routes across whatever, where you discover some of these places and or stumble across some of these restaurants or diners or whatever. It's like, oh my god, these cinnamon rolls are so fucking fantastic. What do you, you know, and is there something in us that wants us to explore, and then as a result we go out and find these things, and you know, what do these 15 minute, this notion of 15 minute cities do to some of that sort of, we're already losing some, yeah we're already losing some of that curiosity and sense of adventure.
Stop saying we, motherfucker.
Well, you know what I'm saying, we, the collective society.
But what's funny is you got all the online people pushing all their IG and all the other stuff, YouTubing of all the travels and stuff they do, trying to inspire people, you know, sailing, hiking, camping, the whole nine yards. You got more people pushing the outdoor activities than ever before, more so than anyone could. But it's getting harder to do that stuff.
I don't mean to laugh. I'm not laughing at what you're, I just got an image in my head. We should start a BRIG sort of mocking all those, you know, IG, you know, that famous, it's become a meme now. It's like those IG chicks that are traveling somewhere fantastic and they're walking and they have their arm behind them holding their boyfriend's hand, but it should be two of us. Like I'm holding your hand as you're walking in front of me, but I'm taking a picture of you
with the selfie stick.
But do it in some of these small town places, or just obscure, like do it,
I mean, it could be like a car hedge or the biggest ball of yarn or something, you know, just stupid shit.
That's slums of fucking Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I think it'd be a random out, like a rest stop bathroom, like walking into a rest stop
bathroom. The Alabama bathroom.
Well, you know, what's funny is how many people don't even stop off at rest areas and really realize what they're for. Everyone just walks in, uses the restroom, walks back out, gets their car and go. Ignores all the beautiful freaking picnic tables and stuff. I remember when those places were half full of people stopping off and having picnic lunches and stuff. A lot of them used to have hiking trails. There's a couple of them I stop at that have ponds where you can go fish. It's like it was a rest area, but you also have to remember the top speed limit, at least for my neck of the woods, was 55 miles an hour. So what's a 4 hour, 5 hour drive now used to be like 7-8 hours.
Yeah.
And so
well, and that's a good point too with restaurants, chains, or even fast food places. Like, yeah, but I remember as a kid, we'd bring our own food and
you would stop
either
off
eat it in the car or we'd park at a rest area. And
yep, the kids get to run off, burn off some energy, use the restroom. If they had a playground, you know, you go play on the playground, maybe hike around a little bit.
I think it'd be a killer IG. We'd make millions. Or maybe we should post it to Patreon. Patreon.com/BRNation for all our IG travel.
IG travels.
That'd be hilarious.
We'd have to take like a month off and like map some of that out and then catch everything else in between. And we couldn't go on an expressway. You'd have to travel across the country without driving on an expressway because there's still bizarre places out there.
I was about to say, we're going to hit some fucking weird. I mean, shit, when we did our 3-week trip, we landed some weird fucking places.
Yeah, but that's where memories
Vermont,
are made.
Not Vermont, but Virginia. What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not
but calling you out, Virginia, but you're fucking weird.
You know, it's one of those things, though. The expressways are almost as bad as flying because you go through all the bypasses and everything and don't get to see all the cool stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, if you're in Montana, you have no other choice.
Right.
Yeah, that's...
There's certain areas...
Or Wyoming,
yeah. Yeah. Further east you go, you don't have... You could go anywhere.
Then we could have BR merch, whether it's shirts, jackets, et cetera. All of that shit, we'd be wearing that when we take that IG picture. Yeah. It will always, you know, all of those, right? It's like always the backside of some chick.
You know, there's the thing, though. It's the backside of some chick to get those pictures. So in our case, we'll just have to buy some blow-up dolls.
I love it. I love it.
You're holding your blow-up doll's hand. Take a picture of her backside walking. We'll have to get the full size ones.
And the best part about that is we can fucking write it off as a business expense. You go to an accountant, I see here.
Well,
wait, sex robot? What?
Have you not seen my IG?
That's a business expense.
That's what I was going to say. We could go high speed and get one of them Japanese sex robots.
Yeah.
They look realistic anymore. They do just, they're coming along with it. Pretty soon we won't know the difference.
This has become Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah. That might be my favorite scene in that whole movie. Whenever his dad comes in, what the fuck? You spent $25,000 on dinner.
Oh, remember the shots? Yeah. You ordered the entrees.
Well, it was the sides. The sides? These sides?
Grand on what are these sides?
They cure cancer? Yeah, that's why they cost so much.
Yeah, they cure cancer.
Oh, my God. So now, we don't need to burn more calories about our business idea.
Of our 15-minute cities.
Yeah, to get IG views up.
Okay. So the next one up here, which I just typewriters. What's
oh. Here, I'll show you. Let me see.
This is going to be a visual.
Yeah. 3, 2, 1. Maybe.
Oh. Maybe. I zoom.
Is it going? No.
No. Maybe.
You see this?
That is a page.
That's the 15-minute cities. Oh, there. Typewriter.
Smart typewriter.
So for those listening at home, I came across an ad for something called FreeWrite. And it's basically, think digital typewriter. So it's got a small, what's the e-ink screen like on a Kindle.
If it doesn't have the, it's not a typewriter.
I know, but I'm trying to describe it. So there is a mechanical keyboard and a little screen, but it's the size of a typewriter. And the idea is, and it even says smart typewriter is a dedicated drafting device for anyone who writes without the distractions from email, whatever. So, you know, if you're writing on your computer, right, it's easy to get distracted. So the idea is all you can do is write. You can't even really edit too much on this, but you can save it to the cloud. And I mean, it's a business model. The thing's $650, which is ridiculous. They have a Ernest Hemingway edition that's like Chrome, and it's $1,000. But then it's kind of a stupid idea, but then it got me thinking just about typewriters generally. Do they still make typewriters? So I went on to Amazon, and sure enough, you can buy like a Royal typewriter, like my dad had, like I had.
Yeah.
My dad had as a kid. He let me, I'd pound away on it. And for like 200 some odd dollars or 250 or something, but you can still get them. And so I just thought,
He's been on the podcast. What can I think? He was sailing. Why can I?
Scott
Cooks, Cooks Meat. Scott. He types Ortlip on a typewriter. Yeah, Ortlip. There, thank you. He types a lot of stuff on a typewriter. Huh. Actually types out thoughts or stuff, and then he'll transcribe it or whatever if he needs to send it to it. But he does a lot of stuff on an old typewriter.
And it's just distractive. And part of the pitch of that device was that it's distraction free and it helps you better get into the zone with whatever you're trying to do, whether it's writing or like writing a book or just getting your thoughts out there or whatever.
The only thing with even with something like that, though, I would need one of two things. I either need the handle so I can push the cartridge across, or it needs to be electric and make the sound itself. It doesn't actually need to move back and forth, but I need to hear that sound at the end of each line.
Does he hear that click, 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 click?
Yeah.
You need to push it as hard as the old typewriter.
Zing, zing. Yeah.
Oh, the old manuals. That's what I learned how to type on was the old manuals.
Same here.
Bang, bang, bang.
And my dad was really good at that.
Yeah.
Even faster on electric.
I'm glad I took typing class, but I hated typing class.
Man.
Because we had the electrics, but they made us learn on the manuals.
We had electric, but I had a manual at home.
Okay.
And so before I took typing, I started typing on that, and my dad showed me how. And I mean, it was slow and clunky, but once I learned, but when I went home, I'd still go back and use.
Now, what's real funny is I was never good with a typewriter, keyboard until I started gaming. Because you got to play your game and chat people. That was before I had voice options to talk. So you got to chat, let everyone know what you're doing. And that's really learned how to type. It's like, oh, okay. Hmm. And I'm still not a good typist. I hit the space bar too much.
No, I'm not good at all. I'm pretty good. But it's just, it's interesting. So, you know, it just made me think of, you know, like 20, 30, okay. Shit.
Here's a question, though. What kind of keyboard do you normally work on? Do you got a soft touch? I've actually gone to a mechanical keyboard again for my... I have mechanical keys. You got mechanical?
So on my... I have an iPad case that I you know, so that... I mean, it has some key travel, but both at work and even here at home when I'm doing real stuff, I have a mechanical keyboard.
Yeah. Something about the clickety-clickety helps me.
Yep. There's something soft about touch, that makes
it... I do not type well on my laptop. It has a soft touch keyboard that works great. I'm horrible at typing on it.
You talking about the manual, the ones that rise really high?
Yep. Yeah. Where you press it down and there's a physical click every time you...
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had fucking names.
Yeah.
I'm
learning something every day.
Yeah, you got the soft touch?
Yeah, well, I have a laptop, so.
Yeah.
Because there's a switch, so in keyboards, like IBM was the first one. I think the first, whatever personal computer was, that keyboard you can still get, even though they don't manufacture those anymore, you can still buy them. There are people who refurb them and resell them over and over, and now they're probably a few hundred dollars, but those were supposed to be fantastic because IBM at the time, before the personal computer, made typewriters, the electric typewriters, and so they kind of took that feel and put it in a keyboard, and there's an actual physical switch. Some of them can be more quiet than others for office versus, like, if you're around everybody and you don't want to clickety clack. Yeah, mine's super noisy. You could hear it across the house, and I love it because there's such a tactile feel to it.
Yep.
But yeah, then there's, you know, what they do now to save space or to make things more compact, especially in laptops, but in other things where there's hardly any key travel and it's. It's mechanical in some sense, but it's really not. It's not the same switch. You're just pressing a sensor or something like that. Anyway, so that's the difference. But mechanical keyboards, especially in gaming, is a big deal too.
Yep.
So you can feel
always like have mechanicals in there.
Because
you, especially if you're doing multi powers or you're hitting multiple switches, you don't want it to blur across. And
you want to know it fired. But there's also that typing where, like I said, where you feel that. Anyway, so it's just something that we kind of lost.
Typing wise, it helps me concentrate to let me know what the last key I hit. So do I need to hit the space bar or don't I? You know, with a soft touch, I'll lose track where I'm at, and then I get this big long line of letters, or I'll get extra spaces in there.
Yeah, part of me wants to get a typewriter now just because. There's something about it. And, you know, maybe it's nostalgia for me, but
if you could get a good typewriter, but then get a good scanner with some software. So if you do type something out and you need to throw it online, you put it in there and they do one of those auto deal, whatever's. Yeah. That wouldn't be a bad deal. But it slows you down on making mistakes with the real typewriter. You know, do you want to get the white out every time or use a little ribbon to make things disappear that's always wore out on a high school typewriter?
That's just it, too. Then you have to buy a ribbon for the ink to transfer. Like, it's just funny. I mean, it's like.
And then buy decent paper. Copy paper, I don't think, would type well.
Yeah.
It's probably too thin and punched
through. Yeah, you need something with some weight to it.
Yeah, good quality.
But I remember, too, hearing that, not just the clack of the keys falling back, but then that slap against the paper. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just something about that. All of that. So, you know, so maybe all of that's coming back to me. It's like, oh, shit, no, I should buy a typewriter. Instead of buying this $650 gadget, and I understand it's connected to the cloud or can be connected to the cloud, and
there's benefits there. To me, that like defeats the, okay, you basically got a keyboard and screen. Take a freaking tablet, hook it up to a keyboard, and you'll have the same thing cheaper.
No, absolutely.
Digging the product. It's like either use the real thing or just use a cheap knockoff version.
That's where I'm going. It's like I get the idea and I think it's cool, but just get a typewriter.
You know, couldn't you just get like a basic?
Well, and shit, these days you can tablet? Scan things in with your phone.
Well, I'm saying just a basic tablet, set it up on a little board and plug a keyboard in it with a Word doc program and you'd be set.
Possibly.
Or you could spend $650 on that typewriter.
Yeah.
That's like a more of a foldable clamshell deal that's like, but even at its cheapest, it's still like $300-$400. Like, it's stupid. Like, it's, but whatever. They're probably an indie company making one-off products, so I get it. Yeah. But it's just something interesting. I came across the ad and thought, oh, here's a thing you don't see every day. It's like, you know, how many people are going? And it's funny too how you kind of come full. Like, I know we have computers, so we've never really lost the keyboard typing sort of experience. But, you know, typewriters were a thing in every fucking office, and then, you know, then computers came around, and we have word processors. And oh, you don't need that old.
Have you ever been on one of those keyboards that isn't a QWERTY keyboard? Have you ever used one or seen one?
I have.
I ran into that overseas, and it was at one of the kiosk things. And I looked at that keyboard, and it was one of the few times that I could not get help fast enough. And of course, one of the little ladies walking around that I'm sure laughs at all of us Americans because we don't know how to use any keyboard but the QWERTY keyboard. She just kind of chuckled at me and was like, yes. And I was like, here's my paperwork. Can you type in the information so I can get my boarding pass? Because I don't know how to make this thing.
Yeah, I like, know there's a...
I had my fingers out like this going, I just need help.
Yeah, there is. I know there's a couple different versions of the keyboard, and QWERTY won out just because whoever
they like got he was into just the schools. Yeah. That's what I think really got them. QWERTY got into the schools. Everybody learned on that, and they won.
Yep. I've seen. I've seen some. There's one where it's actually an ergonomic keyboard and you drop your fingers into holes and then you move your fingers in certain directions to get
to
letters. I haven't. The only other keyboard, like weird keyboard I saw was for phones. And instead of a QWERTY keyboard, it was this weird thing. I forget. I'll have to try and find it. But the letters, the way they were set up, it was more like you're doing figure eights and concentric circles.
Okay. And if you're doing that with all your thumbs, I could see that.
And so it was kind of weird to get used because it's not a QWERTY keyboard in that sense. Right. So it was weird to kind of figure out, but the way they designed it, the whole point was your fingers kind of constantly moving in figure eights or circles.
Right. What are the Blackberries? I remember seeing some of the Blackberries where they put the alphabet in order.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I know my letters of the alphabet, and they're all in order, but I've been using it. Yeah, yeah, no.
But I'm a shitty typer on that keyboard.
Yeah. It was like, so well,
confusing to us.
Yeah, it's like,
well, might as well be the metric system.
Yeah.
Exactly. Even though the metric system's base 10.
Making everything easier, honestly.
Yeah. But I get it. It's like, it's because we have no concept of what a kilometer is. Like, right. Or most Americans don't have a concept of what a kilometer is.
Yeah. So I have to think about 2 miles. It.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like, well, how many miles is, like, nobody knows the conversion is the other piece.
One that really fucks me up is liters.
See, meters is, I know meters fairly well, and the military helped out in this one, but because it's not really different from a yard, but when you're talking in that, you do estimations. So it's like, is that 100 yards or 100 meters? Well, they're really close. So if you're not trying to pinpoint something, you know, precisely, it's like,
if you're not trying to drop ordnance on specific coordinates.
Yeah, but like figuring out like the meter numbers or whatever, if you're just walking, it's like, oh, okay, I have a 1 meter step. Okay, I can figure out what 100 steps is. That's 100 meters. You know, that type of thing. Compared to a thing, so I could figure out meters a lot easier than anything else. But now, if you ask me to convert those meters over to kilometers to kind of compare to miles, oh, I'm totally lost.
Yeah,
it's like I got that range down to like 100, 200, 300 meters. I can figure that out, but what, well, how many meters are in a kilometer? I think there's 1,000, aren't there? Not sure.
See, yeah, and maybe this
I'd
is
have
because
to think about it.
My marching days, it's like I got yards down.
Like, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. A yard and a meter are only an inch or two difference.
Okay.
Yeah. What it was? It's yeah.
Well, and then 5 yards. Every 5 yards is 8 steps. I mean, you can have more, but on average, it's 8 steps. That's 22 and a half inches
right.
For 5 yards.
Yes. Yeah, so
times eight for 5 yards.
1 meter is 1.09 da-da-da-da-da yards. We're talking 0.09 difference.
Yeah.
Yard and meter.
Close enough for government work. Yeah.
Right. But then if you're trying to break a meter down, you get lost.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you need to move 6 feet, 2 yards, 2 meters. Okay. Yard to meter, I can do.
You get anywhere inside a meter.
1.5 meters. How far is that? Like 1.5 feet? You know, you're trying to.
Yeah. Fucking metric system. But I'm convinced if the United States went metric, everyone else would have to go.
CJ's even more screwed because he does carpentry that uses even less metric. So it'd be even
what
harder.
Carpentry to, are we talking about?
You talk about, you know, doing all the building trades and everything, which we learned. Yeah. You didn't learn any of that in the metric system.
Oh, fuck no.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. It's even harder for you to do conversions. Because you're going to go back to what you learned on the base style of things. It's like, give me a metric tape measure. And you're like, oh, man, really? But I had to have, for mechanics, I had to have a metric ruler. Because a lot of stuff is in cars and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I've driven in Canada. I've driven in metric.
When it's not that hard. Across the border, did your speedometer change over?
You remember to look at the correct numbers?
Yeah. Well, and I at one point had a car, had a, is it 2002 Ford Taurus, but it was manufactured in Canada. Ooh. And so on the speedometer. Everything was exactly the same as a Ford Taurus here.
But the numbers were flipped.
The numbers were flipped. So the big numbers were kilometers per hour, and the inside smaller numbers were miles per hour.
Have you ever been in a car that only had kilometers?
No, ma'am.
I have. It made me think about it. But I was in a country that everything was in kilometers, so I was good. No speeding.
No guesswork.
No guesswork. So it worked out.
To America, but, you're fucked.
But I had to think about it. I was like, what's... I kept looking at the speedometer going, what's different? And then it dawned on me. I'm like, there's no miles per hour.
There's just the one. Yeah.
It's just kilometers.
I did drive a car with the steering wheel on the left side in a place while driving where you drive on the left side of the road.
Okay.
Like so normally, like in that. Britain.
Yeah, opposites.
Normally in Britain, you're driving on the right side, left side of the road, but you're steering on the right side in the what's the passenger side here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's, St. Thomas. Rented a car, but you drive on the left side of the road. So it's just like anything, in fact, it was a Mazda. So it's
was
just
it
like,
a stick?
I think so. Mazda 323.
Yeah. I drove a stick on the wrong side of the road. I was surprised I could drive a stick so well with my left hand. I actually had more I had to think about with my feet because I was like, wait, are the pedals
clutching?
Yeah, but the pedals are the same. They're just everything's. But yeah, I actually was pretty good at it. I was nervous, but after a few miles, I'm like,
that'd be a trick if you flip the clutch and the gas.
Yeah, that was my first. Yeah, if they had flipped those, I'd have been done for. I'd have not made it. But yeah,
where are we at?
I don't. I think we're near quitting time. Those were.
Yeah, we kind of meandered a bit.
We did. For 15
minutes. But it was good discussion. We haven't.
It was.
We haven't. You know, when we miss a week, we got to catch up and shoot the shit. So
that was a good one.
Nothing to add to the typewriter, so you're welcome.
No, that's all. Did you take typing in high school or have to? Or
yeah, anything? I was forced to, and I was terrible at it because I didn't want to do it.
Did you take typing or computer class?
There was computer classes and there was typing classes. So.
Okay, so they still have typing classes. That's interesting.
Still have. We're also talking about 13 years ago.
Plus. Yeah, but that doesn't seem that long ago anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you think 90s and you think, well, shit, they had computers back then. But yeah, typing was still a thing. Like, and I will say,
the first computer we had in school was the green one, so.
Yeah, oh, really? You still had green ones?
I remember. He's small town.
Yeah, that's true.
Small town Iowa, too. So,
yeah.
Two. Where I grew up is smaller than any of y'all lived.
No, that's not completely true. But I lived multiple places when I was a kid. So I'll agree with you. I'm not going to. Now, if we want to compare high schools, you're absolutely right. You want to talk previous to that? I lived in some smaller towns.
Well, I never experienced anything else. How's that?
That's fair.
That's fair. You didn't get that extra experiences.
No.
My daughter's in elementary school had typing.
Really?
Now, granted, a lot of stuff that they do is there's a lot of stuff they do online. A lot of classes and stuff. So there's online typing courses that they would take. So they're even that further ahead than I was. I was just plinking away on a typewriter, just dinking around like an idiot until I got to high school to take typing.
I think it was eighth or ninth grade before I took typing class. Yeah. See, with 7th, 8th, and 9th in the same school, I can't remember. Some things were 8th grade, some things were 9th. But I had it might have been my freshman year I had typing. Nice. Interesting. Yeah, I was horrible.
You were forced because you had to take it? or forced because
it was like one of the requirements.
Ah, okay, okay.
Well, it was because it was computers.
I wasn't sure if it was your parents kind of saying, no, you're going to freaking do this, or if it was something else.
My parents never forced me to take classes, luckily, which there was a couple of them that I probably shouldn't have taken because I took like the second lowest math course like to start out with, which was so dumb. I literally passed with an A without even trying. That was like one of my only good classes. So,
yeah, like, but
how can I do this the easiest way possible?
No, I get that. I get that.
You know, though, it's like algebra on. I don't think those should be required classes.
I'm not saying I disagree, but I didn't challenge myself at all.
I know, but I'm saying when they force these requirement of class, I say this about a lot of classes, but especially in math, if you're not going into one of the major sciences that require that stuff, the pain and agony, or your kid brings you in a calculus question, I don't know how to do freaking calculus. I can't help with that. It's like off to the internet we go. Geometry? Yeah, I do a little bit. Trigonometry? I never took trigonometry.
Can't say, so you never took it.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
It's hilarious. I actually used the Pythagorean theorem at work. Not good. Now, but I'd have before. Because it's hilarious. You always see these memes like, when the fuck am I ever going to use this? I'm like, I actually had to. The setup
is that you actually had the plus B squared equals C squared?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We marked them out by doing triangles, and then we would do the rest because the tape wasn't long enough for fucking four.
Oh, good on you. That's awesome. Pythagoras was kind of a cult leader like back in the day. Like he had some weird, like he's a genius from a math perspective, but he had some crazy mandates for his followers. Like you couldn't eat beans. That was one. There's a couple other things.
And Albert Einstein married his 14-year-old cousin.
Well, but love is love. So
when you're a genius, it doesn't matter, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what we're leaving with.
On that note, glad
you're welcome.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. I hope it's given you something to think about in your own quest to develop a barbarian mindset. Because it's with this mindset that you'll find the skills, strength, attitude, will, and endurance to see things through and live within the civilization and still be a barbarian. We appreciate your feedback. We especially appreciate those who have been supporting the podcast. That's the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. On our website, on Anchor FM, and on Spotify. You can find the show notes on the blog or anchor.fm/barbarianrhetoric. If the podcast has been helpful to you, please let us know. You can do this by checking into the Apple Podcast app, give us 5 stars, and leaving us a short review. This will help us get our message out in front of many more people. You can also talk to us on social media and let us know what you are thinking about or how this has helped you. On Twitter, I am at Steel Janz. That's STEELJANZ. And I'm also on Instagram at Barbarian Rhetoric. There's also a couple other things you need to check out. One is the Barbarian Rhetoric blog. And of course, our newsletter. There's a pop-up which you'll see as soon as you land on the blog. Thanks for listening. And always remember to be a barbarian in a civilized world. An apex predator.